Cornucopia Radio presents.
It's a city on the move. It's a town with the nicest of people. It's a village with love in its heart. And it's a hamlet without a hope in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Budley.
Body Revolution, Fitness and Leisure, Budley. Samantha speaking, how can I help? Yes, hello, Mr. Addison. Just let me check.
It's a very busy gym, this, Miss Carmichael.
Oh, call me Mitzi. Oh, yes, the members are very loyal. You'll get to know all my ladies once you've been working here a few weeks. You don't get many gym managers like me, you know, answering phones, teaching classes, overseeing gym inductions.
Oh, Mitzi, it's Ken Addison, new member, wants to book in for an induction with you.
Oh, get his profile up on the screen for me.
Oh, 2 seconds.
Oh no, ball fat and ugly. Get Tom to do it. So, here's a timetable of classes. Now, the ones in gold are the premium ones.
They're all taken by you.
Oh, what a coincidence. All my ladies fight to get into my classes. It's probably because I'm like Mel Gibson.
What, a bloke?
No, stupid. What women want. I know what women want.
What's spingo?
Spinning on an exercise bike whilst playing bingo.
Waiting date circuit.
Oh, brilliant. Women go around the gym and start chatting up random unsuspecting blokes exercising. If they like what they see, I tell them to get stuck in, girls. I blow the whistle after a minute or so and then they move on to the next one. I always say, ladies, if you can lift more, show him the door.
What's Catalates?
It's Pilates with my Avon catalogue. You get to order as you stretch.
So what programmes do you give your members?
Oh, we use a brand new state-of-the-art system.
What is it?
Astro Fitness by Russell Grant.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Let me show you. Ethel, come over here, Petal. I want you to do me a quick programme.
I'm not sure.
Todd won't mind me saying Ethel's 87.
89. Oh,
she looks so young, doesn't she? Well, look, all you need to do is to enter Ethel's details into this system. So, she's Capricorn, born in the Chinese year of the ox, within the fourth lunar quarter. I mean, you can add other things like height and weight and age, but they're not essential.
Are you sure about this?
Look, here's the printout. Says you have to squat 250 kilo, Ethel.
But I'm weak on the left side since I had my hip replaced.
Well, just put more weight on the other side then. It's not rocket science.
I'm not sure.
And no leaning on your Zimmer frame as you do it. It's cheating.
This is crazy. Are you even qualified?
More qualified than you. You with your fresh out of uni, with your master's in education psychopathy.
It's psychology and physiology and sports nutrition.
Well, I've got life experience and compassion for others and a Fatima Whitbread diploma in feminine fitness.
That don't even exist. Someone's going to have a serious accident here.
Get out of my gym, you. You're fired. Go on. Clear off. We don't need the likes of you in here.
I'm off.
Accident. The nerve of him.
Mitzi, there's been an accident in the gym. Old Ethel's been crushed by heavy weights.
Oh, well, is she hurt?
Yes, yeah, she's all misshaped and crushed. I'll phone 999.
No, wait a minute. I'll just put her outside next to a mobility scooter. We'll say she fell off, say filling in an accident form.
The champion's approaching us now. Barry, Sports Bullet. Can we have a few words?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Welcome, Barry.
Thanks.
Barry Bradgate from Budley. Congratulations on becoming World Tiddlywinks Champion. How does it feel?
Oh, absolutely fantastical. I feel like Cinderella on speed.
You demolished the world number one, the Russian favourite for the title today, with an air of ruthlessness. Where does that desire to win come from?
Well, my coach always says to me, Barry, you've got to win. If you don't win, you might lose. And that could make you a loser.
We must point out to the people watching that your dad, Jim, is also your coach. Let's bring him in and get a few words from him.
Is this on telly now?
Yes, you're live on Sport Bullet. Where do you think Barry gets his competitive edge from?
That's a really difficult one because we train in pub. There's a privet edge on taproom side. I suppose it blocks the sun out on sunny days, so I think that might have helped a little.
Back to you, Barry. I know this has been a tough year with the wrist injury. How tough has it been to come back?
Oh, it was career-threatening. I couldn't even lift a pint. I train 16 hours a day, 24-7, 352 BPM. It's not surprising the body starts to break down. It's depressing when you can't wink at all, and winking is all that you think about.
I must ask you both about the controversies that have surrounded Tiddlywinks over the last couple of years. The drugs issue has crept up with the Latvian winker failing a test here. How do you feel about it?
Well, that's disgusting. That someone can take a drug that lets them wink for longer, and then they get all the trophies and the free ale vouchers.
And the South African winker, with a prosthetic thumb, getting to the quarterfinals. This has been a huge story for disability sports. With the high standard here, is it fair to say they've raised the bar?
No, it is not fair to say that they've raised the bar. I mean, if someone wants a pint, they should be able to get one. If you raise bar, someone in a wheelchair might not be able to reach the drink or even pay.
What about the argument for women being allowed to compete?
No. I know women can do a lot of important things like cook pies and plant daffodils. I even saw a woman put a shelf up on This Morning last week. However, she was a bit butch looking. But no, winking is a man's sport and it should stay that way.
I know how hard this lad trains. No woman can manage to focus for that long without watching Coronation Street, playing bingo or knitting.
Have you ever watched a woman try to reverse a car into a parking space in Asda car park? They've no space station awareness. If you think of the way we use the squidger to get the wink into pot, there's no way a woman could handle them pressure shots.
And how have the people of Budley reacted to your success?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I can't go anywhere without people calling me a winker or making tiddlywinks hand gestures. They need to work on it, though, because it looks not like tiddlywinks.
So, what's next for the world champion?
Now that they've allowed tiddlywinks into Olympics, I want to wink for gold in Brazil next year.
Congratulations again, Barry, and all the best for the future.
Oh, thank you.
Barry there off to celebrate with his supporters. He typifies the modern athlete, determined, dedicated and disciplined. This is Fred Hall for Sport Bullet Extra.
Dad, can you get us another pint in? Get me through drug test quicker.
So now, as we prepare to welcome this new life into the church family, can I ask the three godparents to step forward?
Here, move phone forward. Our Kev's on Skype from prison. Here, stop your moaning. He's in governor's office.
Now we declare our faith and wash away the sins of the world.
Is this where we put water on?
Yes.
Oh, let me take fag out of a goblin pot. Here, stop with your whinging. I'll get you back in a minute.
Can I have a drink?
Oh, go on then.
So, little one, I baptise thee J-Lo Pink Kylie
No, J-L-S. Stop! J-Lo Pink Kylie JLS. Do you think we're chavs or summit?
I'm sorry, I was just reading from the CD.
It's the first five artists from, now that's what I call, Council Estate Barbecue, Volume 56, Disc 2, not Disc 1.
I do apologise.
Get on with it, I want to get to pub.
Little one, I baptise thee Britney, Shania, Shakira, Beyoncé, N-dubs, Stubbings.
Sounds classy, doesn't it?
...1859, D.C. Blunt and W.P.C. Walton interviewing Mr. and Mrs. Newton Smythe. So you understand that you've been arrested on your return to England after your three-month cruise on the luxury cruise ship Baywatch.
Yes, it was lovely. Made all the better knowing we were doing charitable work.
Yes, charitable work. Your trip to take the Florida bottleneck dolphins hoops to jump through. You raised over £500,000.
We did.
Yet you presented the dolphin keepers a cheque for $136.
Enough to buy several multicoloured hoops.
What happened to the rest of the money?
Well, legitimate expenses to get to the poor little dolphins.
It was very important to us to hand the money over in person. Worth it to see the smiles on their little dolphin faces. They squeaked with delight. But to get there, we couldn't fly.
Oh, I'm afraid of flying.
And my wife's also afraid of anything with the word budget in it. She only has to look at an Asda Smart Price label and she comes out in a terrible rash. So a luxury cruise was the only way we could carry out our bally merciless mission.
Yes, the luxurious 3 months cruise.
Such a long time. Barbara even spent her 60th birthday on board that ship. She put this mercy mission around the Caribbean on the way to Florida before a meal in the bistro with her own family.
Oh, I did. Broke my heart that day drinking champagne at the captain's table.
And after we arrived in Florida via the Caribbean, my wife was most ill, weren't you, Barbara?
Oh, yes. I had a terrible headache. I thought at first I was getting one of my bally migraines.
So we did what every sick person in Florida does.
Visit a doctor?
No. We exclusively hired Disneyland for a couple of hours. Expensive, but one so avoids the queues and gets instant access to all the thrills and amusements.
And once we left Disneyland, we were kidnapped by her man.
And his Winnie Mandela.
Nelson Mandela's wife?
She means Winnebago.
Oh, I get those bally words mixed up. Forced us to Vegas, he did. Forced us to gamble thousands.
And he forced us to buy premium tickets sitting on the front row at several concerts. Celine Dion, Billy Joel, Cher, Rod Stewart, Shania Twain, Paul Simon...
And Elton John. Yes. We were so close, I thought his bally wig was going to jump on me during Crocodile Rock.
So you see, we had very little left when he took us back to rejoin the cruise.
Let's look at how you got the money. Taking the elderly on bus trips. You charge them £50 a ticket on your minibus.
Some of them hardly got out of their bally nursing homes and sheltered housing complexes.
But according to some of the pensioners, you took them to the post office or bank to withdraw pensions and savings.
Yes, money they wanted to give to the dolphins.
Check your records. Those pensioners handed that money to us freely of their own free bally will. It's not as if we threatened to drive them off a cliff or drown them.
And this church lottery you've been running, you seem to have won every draw since it started 3 years ago.
My wife's lucky with numbers. A mathematical genius. You ought to see her with a Sudoku.
But some would say this looks like you fixed the draw.
Well, the vicar will tell you we did not. He drew the winning number every week.
He says you provided him with an envelope containing the winner every week.
It's the vicar's word against ours. And I think you'll find he was the one who announced the result and handled the draw, making him look like he's in it up to his neck. If, hypothetically speaking, there was any fraudulent behaviour here.
So, let's recap. You fraudulently taken other people's money, squandered it in bad investments, whilst managing not to step over the line of what is legal and illegal.
But nothing is going to stick, and you know it.
We are bally innocent.
But I've one last question.
Go on.
Have you ever thought of going into politics?
Good afternoon, Teresa. Patrick.
Good afternoon, Sister of Mercy.
Take a seat, Sister. I'll bring you over your favourite cup of tea with a slice of your favourite Victoria sponge.
I'm not here for refreshments, Patrick. I'm here to investigate a murder.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Sister of Mercy. Who on earth has been getting themselves murdered today?
Old Billy Murphy.
Sister, Billy Murphy's not dead. He's sat over there in the cafe over by the window, taking a nap.
I think you'll find he's not taking a nap. He is indeed quite dead.
Patrick, go over there and check his pulse.
OMG, she's right. He's cold, he's dead.
Oh, what are we to do?
Sister, can you help us at all?
Yes. Where there is a murder, Sister O'Mercy can investigate.
So how was he murdered, Sister?
Let me see. Feeling the temperature of the tea, he ordered it at precisely 10:27 a.m. Only one bite of his scone, cherry. No, Sultana, has been eaten. Billy was a sinner. Gluttony his crime. The fact he ate only one bit of his scone suggests he died before finishing it.
That's terrible.
There's more. Look to the left of the body. There are lumps of unchewed food mixed with saliva, suggesting he was shouting before he was murdered.
So he choked then?
No. That is what the murderer wants us to believe. He was actually stabbed to death.
But how do you know?
There's a pool of blood at the bottom of the chair.
Well, will you look at that? I didn't even notice. We'll need the mop and bucket before the lunchtime rush to clean that mess up.
Hang on there, Teresa. Sister O'Mercy, can you tell us who the killer is?
Indeed I can. He was stabbed in the stomach from this angle, suggesting that the killer was indeed left-handed. Wasn't she, Teresa?
Lord have mercy, Sister O'Mercy. How do you know it was Teresa?
She's still holding the knife.
Oh, no. I still had it on my list of jobs to do. I was just going to finish off the lunchtime sandwich orders first. If only you'd come 10 minutes later, Sister O'Mercy, I would have been in the clear.
Why did you kill him, Teresa?
Well, Billy came into the cafe last week. He ordered nothing, came in brazen, used the toilet and left. The idiot didn't even flush it, and he made a great big brown steaming heap. I swore as I was scrubbing and plunging that the next time he walked through the door, I would kill him.
Oh, Teresa.
Well, I suppose, Sister O'Mercy, you'll call the police now and have me arrested.
No. Maybe I have a way you can get away with it and get the Lord's forgiveness at the same time.
But the police will have wanted posters all over the village with Teresa's picture on.
But I could get her a new identity.
Like witness protection?
Sort of. You could come with me to the nunnery and become our Sister of Mercy cook. Our Sister Catherine came back from the holiday to the missions with the leprosy. If I'm honest, all the nuns panic now when we get the lumps in our custard. So if you come and cook for us, you'll be free, locked away in our nunnery forever.
It's either that or prison.
Yes, a life of hard labour, riots, bashings from the other women, and being cut off from the outside world.
Oh, I'll take it. I hear prison is far worse.
What's up with you? You've got a face like thunder.
I found these boots under our bed.
It ain't what you think. I can explain.
Well, they certainly ain't big enough to be mine. You always had a thing for small men.
That's bang out of order. You know about my past.
I knew something was going on. You've been acting strange, whistling and singing with the birds. You ain't been like that since before we was married.
What do you expect? I'm not allowed to lift a finger around here. I can't even go to the toilet without someone following me.
You knew the deal when we got married. I knew things had changed, but I never thought it'd come to this.
What, you expected us to live happily ever after, like it said on the tin? This is the real world, darling. You need to wake up to yourself. People make mistakes. I've made a mistake.
And to think of all the rubbish I've put up with. You were nothing before I married you. You were little more than a squatter. I gave you everything.
And now I was grateful. I am grateful.
Your own family wanted you dead. But now, I ain't allowed to talk about that.
It's in the past.
I bite my tongue every time that witch of a mother-in-law comes round to visit. Not that she ever notices. She's always too busy looking in that blooming mirror.
She ain't my mother.
Whatever. And when you were in a coma for months, I hardly left your side. I spent weeks looking through that glass, just waiting. And I paid for the best facilities. And this is how you repay me.
I know, I'm sorry. Look, it's over. I'll end it now. Can't we just move on?
I want to know who it is.
It don't matter.
Tell me. Every time we were making love, were you imagining I was happy, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, maybe you were deliberately trying to make me grumpy. Maybe that's the vibe that does it for you.
Stop it. Just stop it. I'm pregnant.
Pregnant? Is it mine?
I don't know. I need to see the doc.
So he's the father. Doc?
Now you are being stupid.
Get your things and pack your bags. I want you out of here.
I'm entitled to half of everything.
You'll sleep for 100 years before I give you a penny.
Is that a threat?
What do you think?
We need to get through this.
Tell me which one it was. Tell me.
You really want to know? I'll tell you. Whilst you were off slaying dragons and rescuing villagers, I was left with nothing. I mean nothing. So me and Bashful, we got close. He might be a dwarf, but he's twice the man you'll ever be.
You care? Get out of my castle!
Where will I go?
Go to him and his little friends. When you're bored with him, There's 6 others you can charge.
You pig! You ain't heard the last of this. I'll get my revenge.
Well, don't think I'm going to fall for that old apple poisoning trick. Only a real idiot would fall for that one.
Mum, I hate visiting Dad in prison.
Quiet. He's here.
Oh, Denise. Jamie. Good to see you.
Oh, Gary, love.
No physical contact.
You two look like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. What's wrong?
It's Mick McNally, Dad. He's taking your patch.
Mick Mac?
He's found the secret money in Grandad's chair. £50,000 at least.
It's just money, Denise. It's not the be-all and end-all.
He then threw the antique chair over the cliff.
I never really liked it anyway.
But Grandad was still sat in it.
Well, he was 89. He's had a decent innings.
Tell Dad what Mick Mac's got you doing, Mum.
Force me to work, he has.
Well, we've all got to pull our weight in this day and age.
As a prostitute.
It's the oldest profession. Be proud of its history.
It's worse than that. It's turned our house into a knocking shop. It's got your mother, your sister and Auntie Meg working too.
Family business. That's nice. How's Auntie Meg getting on with her varicose veins?
Well, actually, a bit better since she's been keeping her legs in the air.
And then there's the drugs.
Drugs?
He's got me selling all these drugs for him.
Well, consider it an early apprenticeship. Most lads of your age would kill for an opportunity like that.
He's 13, Gary. Mick Mac's got him selling them at school.
Well, it makes a change from them supply teachers.
Oh. And tell him where you get the drugs from, Jamie.
Great-grandma Alice is cooking them in the nursing home. She thinks she's cooking Sunday lunch. He's there every day collecting them. Great-granny Eisenberg, he calls her.
Well, she'll be in her element with all the visits.
Dad, what is wrong with you? You don't seem to care anymore. I thought you'd be able to sort it out.
The Gary I knew would have sorted everything. You've gone soft.
Well, I've been doing anger management in here, love. That, along with my Tai Chi, my yoga, my aromatherapy sessions, means I finally found me inner peace. The old me lived to get completely drunk in the Budley Arms before kicking the life out of somebody who didn't deserve it. Now I find me excitement in listening to Gloria Hunniford's afternoon love songs.
Well, you relax in here while we're out there living in hell. Come on, Jamie, we need to go home.
Bye, Dad.
Before you go, son, how's the allotment? How's me cabbages?
Mick Max dug them up, Dad. Planted his own marrows. Going for the fries at the village fete, he says.
He's dug up my cabbages?
Yeah.
They're all gone? My babies? Oh, tell Mick Mac, he's gone too far this time. Tell him I'm coming. He's gonna pay. Tell him he's dead.
Janet. Janet. Just go outside and grab some crab and chips. I'm just going in here to have my fortune read.
Ah, come in, my child. Sit. Sit with the great Yamir. Link to those no longer physically with us, but around us all the same.
It says outside you're the psychic to the stars.
Yes, that is so.
Here's my £18.50. Go on, then.
Do take a seat. Oh, there's a very strong glow around you.
Oh, I caught sun on beach earlier. Forgot my factor 30.
It seems you attract a lot of attention from the other world.
I know, they're always trying to ring me from India, trying to sell me an upgrade for my mobile phone. I kept telling them, it's fine in my hand luggage.
The spirits are telling me you're called Beryl from Budley. Is this so?
Yes, go on.
I've a man here. Frank.
Sinatra. Oh, I love him. Oh, that New York song. I love it. I love it.
It's actually your Uncle Frank.
Oh, him? Well, what does he want?
He's telling me about taking you out to the castle in his green Robin Reliant when you were just 7.
I haven't got time for him. I'm still reeling because he left me nothing in his will, tight old sod.
And he regrets this.
He can't move to eternal happiness until you forgive him, Beryl, and set him free.
Next.
I'm sorry, Frank. But wait. I'm sensing another spirit. Margaret. Maggie.
Thatcher. Oh, wait till I tell my friend Janet. She won't believe it. I've been up the tower, I've been on the Big Dipper, and now I've been contacted by the Iron Lady.
It's actually Margaret, your mother. She passed away just last year.
Yes. What does she want?
She says she's sorry. She didn't tell you the truth. She blamed Mr. Toddles.
The cat?
She too wants your forgiveness.
She can sod off. I bought them fish and chips. £6.95 they cost me. Popped into the kitchen to get some salt and vinegar and she told me the cat had eaten all my fish. I believed her and all. Then she starts choking during cash in the attic. If she told me the truth, I might have phoned for the paramedics in time. The selfish woman. Next.
She's desperately troubled. Can't you talk to her?
No.
I'm sorry, Margaret. Hang on, there's one more. I have an L. An L.
Elvis! Elvis! I knew it! They played Love Me Tender on the bus in. It was an omen.
No, no, it's Hel. Helen, your sister-in-law. She's so sad and troubled because she never got to return your cashmere sweater. She died in it. She was actually buried in it. Oh, she regrets so much not giving it back to you.
Selfish cow. She knew that was my favourite sweater. I lent it to her, and she knew I wanted it back for that evening at the theatre the week after she died. I tried taking it off her in the chapel arrest, but that undertaker, he looked at me as if it actually killed her. Truth is, she died because she didn't want to give it back. Tight-fisted cow, I do not want to talk to her.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Helen. I'm afraid, Beryl, there's nobody else here.
Is that it? You sell yourself as the clairvoyant to the stars and I come here and all I get is me uncle, me mother and me sister-in-law. Can't you try for Freddie Mercury? I've got every Queen album.
No, I'm sorry.
Charming. It's a blooming con. Waste of £18.50. I'm off next door. Madame Rosette, at least she's got a picture of herself with Keith, Harris and Orville outside her tent.
This has been Welcome to Budley, written and directed by Mal Callat. It starred Stephanie Lee, Mal Callat, Saoirse Craig Parker, Edward Eggleston, Daisy Lee Wardle, Ryan Hislop, and Dylan Callat. It was produced and edited for Cornucopia Radio by Peter Beeston. This work is released under a Creative Commons agreement. For more information, visit us online at cornucopia-radio.co.uk.